Local news can come at you fast. Want the latest on what's happening in your backyard? Download the free Odyssey app. Follow your local news station, and you'll get alerts on the top stories making headlines in your city. You can stay in the know, no matter what you're up to, and be among the first to find out when news breaks. Plus, keep tabs on weather and traffic, so you're never caught off guard. To get started, download the Odyssey app. That's A-U-D-A-C-Y. And follow your local news station.
8:13, go rain until about 1 o'clock today, then it moves on, clears out for tomorrow, and it's going to be chilly again, and Sunday more rain. At least that's what they're calling for right now. It appears as though to have lightened up a little bit, at least here downtown, the rain. Right now, 60 degrees if you average the temperatures, but again, please be careful. Michael Hecht joins us now, our friend, president, CEO of GNO Inc. How you doing, Michael?
I'm doing great, Tommy. This is what they call a Netflix and chill kind of day.
But you got that right.
We are on the road going to work.
Yeah, what are you going to do? Be safe. That's all you can do. Mike, I thought about you. I was out of town, and I heard about the attack, and I drove back early so I could come to work because I felt like I should and I wanted to. I thought about you, and the first thought I had was that the world is watching, and nobody knows that more than Michael Hecht. Thoughts?
Yeah, the world is watching, and I think for many reasons, but first and foremost, because this terrorist attack was really an attack on America, and New Orleans was just the most dramatic symbol of that, I think, because of our humanity, because of our diversity. And when you look at the images of those who we lost on January 1st, that really, it comes home because it looks like a cross-section of the city and the nation and even the world. So the world is watching and the world is grieving with us because they know that we're just the latest victims of what's really a global scourge, this nihilism that's affecting everybody. And so, yeah, it's a global event, and New Orleans is a global city. So the eyes of the world, and frankly, the sympathy of the world and the empathy is with us as well.
And as well as the world is watching, the other thought I had as I learned more about the victims was that the world is visiting, because it's amazing when you look at the people that were affected by the attack, not to mention those that were killed, not to mention those injured. You never know who's next to you in the quarter, and it really does indicate how much of a world destination, I guess, New Orleans is.
Yeah, no, look, as the world becomes increasingly, I don't know what the right word is, Tommy, homogenous, New Orleans shines that much brighter as this beacon of culture and richness and humanity. And that's why people came here. And unfortunately, that's why this deranged individual chose us for the target. But, you know, we know that it's not going to deter us. New Orleans hosts large events more successfully, safer than anybody in the world. And the reality of it is that the Super Bowl, which we're now about 30 days out from, was already going to be a SEER 1, the highest level of security, very safe event. And now it's going to be that much safer. So I think that when I talk to people, we're less concerned about the Super Bowl. We're concerned about the Super Bowl, rather. We're not worried about it. We're going to be on it. And it's much more a question, Tommy, about at a systemic level, at a governance level, what changes can we make so that we're safer going forward beyond the Super Bowl for Mardi Gras, for Jazz Fest, and just for ordinary nights and weekends?
I went to the Sugar Bowl the day after, and I got to tell you, I felt like I was in the safest place in the world. And I've been saying this, and I believe it to be true, that going forward, obviously for the Super Bowl, which is one of the most secure events you'll ever attend, given the prominence that the NFL gives it, that the federal government gives it. And then looking ahead to Mardi Gras with the SEER 1, I don't know that there could be a safer place than New Orleans is right now. Thoughts?
No, I don't think that there will be. It's going to be extremely safe. But, you know, Tommy, I'm also thinking about this. I was in New York for 9/11. I wasn't in New York City. I was actually about to drive into New York City to fly out of JFK. And I remember when I was there, my father's at my folks' place, and my father said to me, as we watched the terrible scenes unfold, he said, Michael, this is going to change everything. And 9/11 has forever changed the way we changed air travel, the way we fly. And I think in a similar way, the terror attacks from New Year's Day are going to change how we do live events here, how we do parades, how we do Mardi Gras. I think people who are concerned about us losing our history, losing our traditions, don't have to worry about that. Those are going to endure. But there are going to be changes, including this Mardi Gras now, that we're going to have much more intensive federal support. And it's a shame, but that's just how we have to adapt to the world that we're living in, where soft targets and low-tech terrorism are becoming one of the pervasive modes. So things are going to change going forward, Tommy.
Do you have any idea what that would look like?
You know, I don't. And I don't want to speculate. But I do know, you and I know, that when you're at a Mardi Gras parade or when you're at any of our celebrations, the second line, you've got a lot of people who are intensely involved in their celebration. And there's not a lot of attention paid to what's happening outside. So I don't know how many of the changes are going to be visible changes or material changes, like changes to parade routes or different types of barriers, and how much are just going to be better technology and better intelligence so that threats are neutralized before they start. I haven't been involved in any of the deep security meetings, Tommy, yet for the Super Bowl and certainly for Mardi Gras, so I don't want to speculate. Mm-hmm. But, we didn't have to take our shoes off before 9/11, and mm-hmm. now we're still taking off our shoes, and I hate it, but it keeps us safe, I guess. And so there are going to be some things we're going to have to adapt to.
Yeah, and I was talking to Arthur Hardy yesterday, I think it was, and one thing he mentioned, and it really resonated with me, was, you know, okay, so you got a guy in a mask walking down the street dragging an ice chest. That's pretty much what New Orleans is, right? That's pretty much what Mardi Gras is. So I don't know. We'll have to see. Mike, we'll take a break, pick it up. We come back talking to Michael Hecht, President and CEO of GNO Inc., about the resiliency of our community to overcome hate and terror. We'll focus more on that when we return, and also about the hiring of Bill Bratton and what that says to the rest of the world and more. If you have any questions or comments, 504-260-1870. It is 820. Time for traffic now on WWL. 825, Tommy Tucker, WWL, on a cold, rainy Friday morning, talking to Michael Hecht, President and CEO of GNO Inc., about the Bourbon Street terror attack and the aftermath of that. What are you hearing from around the world about their reaction to this, Michael, as member of the GNO Inc.?
Yeah, I mean, it's been the type of outreach and support that you would expect. And a lot of it's come from places that have experienced similar events or attacks. It's come from London. It's come from France. I've heard from friends in Australia. You know, again, this is it's a global scourge. And I think people also have a level of attachment to New Orleans as this kind of great beacon of humanity that makes it particularly empathetic for people when they see something happen here. I think it hurts them particularly. So, no, the outpouring has been broad, and I think it's been really sincere.
What about tourism and cancellations or convention business or anything like that? I can't believe that there would be a lot of cancellations, or have you heard anything?
No, I do know that my good friend Walt Leger over at New Orleans and Company has been hustling, and he's had to basically assure people that their events are going to be safe, that they're going to be secure, and, you know, basically kind of reiterate what you said, Tommy, which is that events that occur in New Orleans over the next 6 months were already going to be safe. Now they're going to be even safer because of the extra attention that we're getting, because we're going to get extra federal resources coming in because of this. I believe that both the Biden and the Trump administration are going to support the city. So, no, I don't think that we're going to have cancellations. I don't think this is going to impact attendance for the Super Bowl. I think we're going to come out of this with in the immediate term with a safer city. But I do think that it's very important that we don't go down these paths of trying to assign specific blame for what happened on the first for two reasons. One is that somebody who is willing to die to inflict mayhem is very hard to stop, and any expert will tell you that. And the second is, although certainly there is blame to go around and absolutely mistakes were made, the bigger issue is what can we do going forward so that there is better singular management and oversight over the French Quarter? I mean, the reality about the French Quarter is that it's our living room. Almost all of our guests go there, but forever we've treated it like the back shed. You know, we just throw stuff there and it's kind of an afterthought. And so I think we have to reimagine how the French Quarter is supported and managed and invested into so that there isn't this diffusion of responsibility, which leads to the kind of, you know, of disasters that we had a week ago, if that makes sense.
It does. Talk about the NOLA Coalition and their role in all of this, if you would, please.
Well, we had a meeting of the NOLA Coalition yesterday, and I said to the group, what kind of statement do you make? How do you want to respond? And I think there were three things that came out pretty consistently from the group. The first is that we're still really in a period of shock and mourning. And while it is important for the show to go on, it's also appropriate and important to recognize the loss. And it's okay for us to sit with it. It's okay for us to understand what's happening. And that's why the memorial is so important on Bourbon and Canal, why it has to be preserved. The second thing that the coalition said is that we can't forget the progress that we've made on what we can control, which is local violence. And that since the coalition was started 2 years ago, the homicide rate is down 50%. Carjackings are down 70%. And that's thanks to NOPD, to Troop NOLA, to the DA, to the sheriff, to so many community organizations, to the council, the city hall. And so they didn't want that to get lost in this. And then the third thing that they said is, and this is really interesting, Tommy, they said, you know what? Maybe we should retire the word resilience. We know that we're resilient. New Orleans has been resilient for over 300 years. But maybe resilient is becoming not just a cliche, but an excuse for lack of preparation and lack of execution. And maybe we have to focus more now on what do we do to make sure that we don't get hurt. If we were a prize fighter, what do we do to make sure we don't get hit in the face rather than having a reputation for being able to get up off the mat, which I thought was a very interesting kind of twist on the, you know, the resilience narrative.
Thank you, Michael Heck, president and CEO of Jefferson Financial Federal Credit Union. President and CEO of GNO Inc. You've not replaced Mark Rosa. I just read the wrong line. Thank you. We'll take a break. When we come back, we're going to talk with Peter Whitford. This is must listening. He's the CEO of Meridian Rapid Defense Group, the company that makes these Archer barriers. We'll drill down deep with him when we come back. Right now, time for WWL First News. It is currently 8:44, 16 till 9, and we're joined now by Peter Whitford, CEO of Meridian Rapid Defense Group. We've heard so much about Archer barriers, and Ramon Antonio Vargas yesterday enlightened us with the movability of these things, and this gentleman happened to be in town, Peter Whitford, the CEO of Meridian Rapid Defense Group that manufactures these Archer barriers. I'm trying to hurry up, Peter, because I got so many questions for you. I'm stumbling, rumbling, fumbling.
Sure.
Welcome
That's
to the city,
right.
Sir, and thank you for taking the time with us. We appreciate it.
Yeah. Well, good morning, and looking forward to speaking to you.
Let's talk about these barriers that you guys manufacture, because I got to tell you, looking at the website, and y'all can go to betterbarriers.com if you like and see what we're talking about. Looking at what appears on a website and what's on the streets of the city, it's hard to believe it's the same thing. Your thoughts toured the city yesterday?
Absolutely. Look, unfortunately, when product is not looked after and, you know, these haven't been warehoused appropriately or they haven't been maintained. We came in the other day and we've walked down Bourbon Street, identified what some of the issues are, but importantly, we've looked at the
the maintenance part of the barrier. And so, you know, we're going to fix those up. We're going to make sure that they are back in top-notch condition, and that'll be done in the next sort of 24 hours. And then we'll be out there, and we're now starting to work with the police department, and we're going through what we call a certified training program. So they're recertified to put them out, you know, the way that they have been crash tested, you know, and all of our product is crash tested and is DHS Safety Act certified. So at least the city will be in good shape.
Take me through these Archer barriers, if you will. If I'm a city official and I'm thinking about getting these, you're the CEO of the company. I know the city bought 45 of them back in 2017. Were you the CEO then or not, Peter?
Yes, no, I was the CEO then. I'm the founder of the company, okay. And I'm also the inventor of the product as well.
So tell me about the product for people that don't know, and I will just tell them for reference sake, it's the yellow barriers, because we had so many conversations about bollards, archer barriers, and wedge barriers. These that we're talking about specifically here, the name of it is an arch barrier, is that it?
The name of the barrier is an Archer 1200 barrier. And in simplistic terms, the barrier is 2 feet wide, it's 4 feet long, and 3 feet high. And it is designed to stop, you know, trucks, 2,500 Ram trucks, 5,500 pounds, up to 60 miles an hour, depending on the system that we put in place. All the barriers are made in America. They're all made out of American steel. They weigh 700 pounds. You know, they have full ballistic capability for any armor piercing 50 caliber rounds. And they are the strongest mobile barrier around. They're the most crash-tested barrier. They have certifications from the United States. We are an American company, ASTM. We're certified in Europe under PAS 68 and IWA. And so, you know, when you've got a product as strong as this, it's just got to be put out, you know, the way that it is crash-tested. And, of course, we're delighted to see that the federal government here has raised the level of event for Mardi Gras and also the Super Bowl from a Tier 2 to a Tier 1 event. You know, we're very familiar with Tier 1 events. We do these all the time. But more importantly, every year we do the Rose Parade in Pasadena. And we've been doing that for, I think, the last 5 years. And as a Tier 1 event, you've got to protect a lot of people. And there's, I think, 1.2 million people that we protect on that day. And, you know, we've had people try to get on a parade route, and our barriers have stopped them. And each of the federal agencies and also the city of Pasadena feel that, you know, they have a standard that should be applicable nationwide. And I'm thrilled to be able to come to New Orleans and see what we can do to assist them.
You were invited after the attack, I'm presuming?
We came here to have a look at the barriers and to make sure.
Were you invited, or you just came on your own?
Well, we had spoken. Yes, no, true. We were invited. We had spoken to Captain Roberts.
I'm just watching the clock here, Peter. I'm sorry. I'm not trying to hurry you along too much. But talk, if you will, just maybe a minute or so about how the barrier is designed and how it kind of goes into the concrete, right, or the asphalt and stops the vehicle from underneath and how impervious it is.
Yes, I mean, you can set it up a couple of ways. You can set it up without arrestor cables, and then the barrier is designed to tumble. So if you put two fingers on the back of a chair and you push the chair down, that's exactly what the barrier will do when a car impacts it at any speed. And, of course, the car will end up on top of the barriers. If you table them together, which we do depending on the threat level that's out there, then the barrier will wrap around the vehicle and stop it. And I think the most important thing is that whatever happens is our product is non-lethal, because it could be an errant driver or it could be someone intent to do harm. So you want to be able to speak to both of those people.
So when it comes to storage and maintenance of these things, I'm looking at it. I don't know. It seems as though it would be as easy as maybe oiling the wheels every now and then, keeping it out of the rain or not.
Well, you could keep it, you know, we have a lifetime warranty on this product, even after it's been hit. So it really is just about paint and wheels. And, of course, you know, we have a service program that we go around the country. We sell to law enforcement all over the country. And, you know, we service the product and we paint it and we put reflective stickers on it. And most cities purchase barriers and they purchase it in the city colour and they put the city logo on it because the city's proud to protect people, communities and places. And that's the work we do.
What did you find yesterday about storage?
We were informed that they had found the additional barriers, which is great, and we're going to make sure that we get these to a standard that the city feels great about, so that's what we're going to do.
Do you know how many additional ones they found? When you say they found the additional ones, how many were in storage or where they were stored?
I believe there was four additional ones, so you know they've now accounted for all 45 of them, and we're working with the city to make sure that we provide the new haulers that we have, which moves the 700 pounds with ease. And we did a training program last night with the police, and they were, I think, delighted with how simple it was to put them in place and take them and then put them in and stage them. So it's a great thing.
Let me jump in there, Peter. You said new haulers, and I've seen the video of how easy they can be to move using leverage. And this, is there a name for it? Just a hauler? Is that what you call a product?
It's particularly simple. It's called an Archer hauler, okay. Right? And the barrier is an Archer barrier. And then we also have Archer beam gates and rapid gates. And we're going to put a rapid gate up today and just show everybody how simple that is to also control vehicles coming in and out.
So specifically moving these things, these handles were available in 2017. And does one come with each barrier? Is this an accessory? How does that work?
Well, we've had different versions of the hauler. We're on to version 8, I think, now. And those haulers come with a set of 8 barriers on a trailer. And the trailer comes with cables and cable covers for ADA certification. And so they also come with what we call wayfinding signs. So you can have directional signage or hazard signage that's in there. And it's very sort of user-friendly. And each of the trailers, as I said, accommodates 8. You can have one person unload a trailer of 8, 4 barriers at one end of the street, 4 at the other, and you can drive away. And that's all done in under 10 minutes.
At what point did these Archer barriers become able to be moved by one person with the handle and the development of the handle? And I'll follow up at the same time with the barriers that the city have now with the new handle could be moved by one person?
Yes, they can be moved by one person. They've always been able to be moved by one person. It's just that we've developed a new hauler, you know, that allows for, if you like, sharper turning, more accurate placement, and greater ease. And it's gender neutral, which is important. So we didn't want to have something that was only for one gender. Any gender can use this and lift the 700 pounds.
When it comes to the storage of these things, what, as the designer, as a manufacturer, what would you take issue with or what would you suggest the city do differently in storing them from what they had been doing and how were they stored? Do you know?
Well, I don't know how they were stored, but, you know, we have cities who store them in a covered warehouse and then they roll out their trailers for an event and they deploy those accordingly. Then they take them back to the warehouse. If they're out on a regular basis, which they will be in Bourbon Street, I think at this point, you know, you rotate out every 6 months to make sure that they're presentable. That's the easiest thing that we do.
So again, and I'm just a layman here, Peter, and I appreciate your time. The only maintenance really that's required on these is to keep them painted, to keep them from rusting and occasionally oiling the wheels, or is that too simple?
Well, in fact, it's simpler than that. You don't have to oil the wheels.
Okay.
The product will perform equally today, painted, not painted, any rust points, it will still perform. As with anything that we do, these have a lifetime warranty, which means they're warranted for 25 years. You can run into these barriers with vehicles and you can put them straight back up and they work just as well, right? So the paint and the presentation is only a pride thing. It doesn't affect anything to do with the product.
So the handles, the Archer, what did you call it? The Archer handle?
No, the Archer hauler.
Archer hauler. The Archer hauler was available, or what? The city does have these Archer haulers, and they came with the barriers that they got in 2017. I just want to make sure I got the story straight.
They came with the original hauler, right? And since then, we have developed new haulers. But they came with the original hauler, which was a wind-up hauler to actually crank it up and move the barrier, and today we use a leverage method and it's simpler and easier. And those haulers today can be stored on the back of the barrier. And if you don't have that, we have what's called a field tow bar that is also stored on the barrier itself. And we can give those to the fire department, to emergency services. So if there was anything gone missing, there's never a problem in moving them.
And you're the CEO, so I would presume your company is in business to sell a product, make a profit. You would have notified the city or the NOPD or whomever it is that when you have an update in the hauler that, hey, you might want to apprise yourself of these?
Yeah, that and we have other services. So we have an annualized certified training program, which we do through the Meridian Academy, which is our own academy. And we've also developed software today where the cities can plan events out using our software, and then they can determine how much equipment they need based on the crash test configuration. So,
Have you all done any training in New Orleans since 2017?
We were out here yesterday training the PD, and they did a remarkable job, and they were very excited to be able to see some of the new developments.
But not before then, since 2017?
Not before then, no. No.
Thank you, Peter. I appreciate the info. Peter Whitford, CEO of Meridian Rapid Defense Group. I know we're late, but that's important information. 857 Traffic Now, WWL.